I'll be in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 14 through 21, the end of the chapter. But we'll wait a minute till we pull that up, because I want to talk first. All right, so we'll pray and ask God to help. Father, thank you for your grace to us. Thank you. And we thank you for all that's been said and done, and we realize this is a new day. So help us, Lord, as we finish up this year, as we finish up this segment of our existence in this church, that your will would be done today. Help me to say what needs to be said, and help us to hear what you're saying. Use the words and the emotion and the expression to convey your thought, your heart, your mind. We want to hear from God. So grant that to us, we pray in Jesus' name, amen. All right, so as was alluded earlier, things are changing. Things are changing. Most of you that have been with us, and Lisa and I want to thank you for the opportunity of being your interim pastors for the last year. We love you guys and appreciate all the support and the opportunity. As you know, I really like IHOP KC. And every year, they put on a big event in Kansas City. They rent out the big auditorium there, and they get anywhere between 20 and 25,000 young people to show up. And this is going to be their last one thing. You can go online if you want to know what I'm talking about. And find it, you have to go IHOP, like the restaurant, KC. So it's not the restaurant, okay? KC standing for Kansas City. And you can stream it. You just have to log in. You give your email address and you make up a thing and password and log in. And you can stream all the events. And you can see what they're going to do. But this is their last year, because what God has been speaking to them is it's time to reset things. It's time to reset. In my heart, my mind, which I kept to myself, just between me and God, was that as they were doing this one thing, it was getting away from what they really do. And that's just, what they're known for is they have a place in Kansas City. And they have a building about the size of this, maybe a little bit bigger. You are familiar with them? You've been there, see? And they have a place where they pray and worship and sing to God 24/7. It's been going on for 20 years. 24/7. They have people, worshipers, musicians, prayers. And that's what God called Mike Bickle to do. And this other thing was great and was wonderful and was influencing a lot of people, but it was kind of getting away from that essential calling of waiting before the Lord and worshiping the Lord, and kind of getting into more of a production, of a show, of a big Christian concert, if you would. And that's not what God really wants. And they recognized it. And I was thinking, we're getting too much into the big show. You know, who's the big speaker this year? And oh, isn't that wonderful? We got the big speaker this year. And so this year's already different, very different. And it's the last they're going to do it. And they're acknowledging that they've sensed that it's time for change. We need to get to the place where we are hearing from God, because difficult days are ahead of us. You're familiar enough with the scriptures to know that in the end times, things get rough. Okay? That's not far away. And we need to be prepared for that. So God is speaking to them. For whatever reason, God knows, the Chinese have really latched on to this IHOP people. 35 years ago, a prophet came and said to Mike Bickle, who's minding his own business and preaching in a church, you're going to have a 24-hour, 7-day-a-week prayer service. And you're going to have musicians, and he's going, who are you? Who? I don't even know who you are. Yes, you're going to have this. And you're going to pray for Israel, right? And he's thinking, I don't even know if I like Israel. Okay, and you're going to, and there's going to be people in the nations who are going to have unplugged televisions in the rice paddies, and they're going to be watching you. 35 years ago, we didn't have, I don't have it on me, it's unplugged televisions. And he's thinking, this guy's a little quacky. But guess what? It all came to pass. And the Chinese over there who are, they could be listening, wonderful people. But they don't particularly allow you to express yourself in a Christian manner as we are used to. Did I say that wrong? They watch. They're able to get it. They can stream it. So they have a great attachment to them. And so not long ago, 1,000 of the leaders decided to come over to the country to express their gratitude to IHOP for obeying God. And he's getting blown away because now he's finding out they represent a couple of million, maybe 20, of people who are out there in the rice paddies watching them live. And they started the whole thing off with what they call the night watch. The night watch is their group that goes at night. I mean, 24/7 includes a lot of hours where everybody's asleep, right? Somebody stays awake in order to sing and worship and pray in the night. You can ask Abby, who went over there and spent some time, what they call fire in the night, where she could spend time with them. And the night watch. So they started the whole thing off with the people on the night watch. They've got a couple of sisters that have been with them for 20 years. They're in their 30s. They started when they were teenagers. They've given up very important years to be watchmen on the wall in the night, watching for the coming of the Lord. Now, the scripture talks about that. That there'll be watchmen on the walls. We don't know what that means. Watchmen on the walls. Well, oh yeah, it's talking about back when they had walls and people had to look for or whatever. No, they have been watchmen on the walls because they're on the walls of what? Prayer. Anticipation. Watching. What is God saying? So they're sensing. The Chinese came over to say, there were, oh my goodness, there were thousands of them. Not just all Chinese, other Asians from other countries came to say thank you. But they realized that things are changing. There will be no more one thing. The four square has asked us as a four square body, that meaning all the four square, is asking us to be in fasting and praying for the 21 days starting on the 1st of January. Now you'll never guess why. Because they sense a transition in the time of prayer. It's not an isolated thing. We're in a transition in a time of prayer, are we not? And there's a lot of people all over the place that are sensing this. This is a transition. This is a time of prayer. Some of the major evangelical organizations are also having times of prayer because it's a time of change, which is good. Which is good. I want to talk a little bit about it, if I ever get to it this morning, about the need for some change. We've gone along all this way, business as usual, and we've done our church thing, and that's fine, but it's time that let's face it, it's not working, okay? It's not changing the world, and it's not changing our government, and for the most part, it's not even changing people's lives. Privately. It's time that we go back to basics. And it's not something new. It's something very old. It's been this way all along. It was wrought for us on Calvary. And we've kind of slipped away. gotten busy, gotten into stuff. It's time to regroup. It's time to refocus. I think that's what they're calling what they're doing, refocus. So I want to talk a little bit about refocusing today. All right? Is that all right? I hope so, because that's what we're going to do. Now we're going to look at the scripture. For the love of Christ controls us, having concluded this, that one died for all, therefore all died, and he died for all, that they who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died and rose again on their behalf. You know, there's so much richness in these things. I hate reading through this because it's like, it's gold, it's gold, it's gold. And we go, oh, that's cool. Oh, that's cool. Oh, that's cool. Oh, that's cool. And we're not paying attention. So I'll go back. We'll read it and then I'll go back, okay? Hopefully. Therefore, now we recognize no man according to the flesh. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him thus no longer. Therefore, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things passed away. Behold, new things have come. Now all these things are from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Namely, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and he has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were entreating through us. We beg you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. He made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. All right, you're back to the top, bro. For the love of God, of Christ controls us. The first thing I want to say is this. Love is the greatest motivator in the world. I don't base that on my opinion. I base that on God's word. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son. That was a great sacrifice on God's part, but it's grace. God chose to do that. It was a great sacrifice on Jesus, who was the Word in the beginning, to do that. He had to become like us. And he didn't just become like us, he became like us in humility, because God is humble. The more we get to know God, the greater we come to find out. It's Agent Orange. That's what it does to you. But we're grateful for his service. Love is the greatest motivator in the world. Because of God's love for mankind, he made us not so that we could go spilling around here, messing up, doing whatever, and trying to find happiness or satisfaction or meaning. He made us so that we would be his sons and his daughters, so that we could know his own glory, so that we would be like himself. I think we miss it, Bobby. We've turned it into something that it's not supposed to be. And like I said, if I get the chance, I'll illustrate that a little bit on the board. The love of Christ controls us. Having concluded this, that one who died for all, therefore all died. See that? That's why we are to consider ourselves dead. That's the basis of Christianity. That's the heart spring. Paul, Romans chapter 6. In him, in baptism, we have recognized in Christ we have died. In Christ, we have been buried. And in Christ, we have been raised from the dead, just as Jesus has been raised from the dead. God put us in Christ. And he didn't just do that for us. He did that for the whole world. It has to be received by faith. First John says, he didn't just die for us. for our sins, but he died for the sins of all the whole world. It's a gift, saints. You know what gift means? And it's available to the whole world. It has to be received by faith. And there's the catch. Because it takes humility. Because what we like to do is we like to, myself, you know? How it is with kids, it's so cool when you're watching kids and they're so cute as they're growing up. And it doesn't take them long before they start using a word you didn't teach them. No. Huh. Right? And after a while, they're doing their own thing. It takes humility to realize that you and I are not going to get good enough. Matter of fact, as the Holy Spirit comes into our lives, one of the things that he does is he shows us nothing's good enough. All that we try to do that I'm so proud about. Man, I go to church every time the doors are open and I give more than the tithe. And I'm blah, 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 blah. That's good. But it's not good enough to make you a son of God. You and I are sons of God because God chose that. He wants it for us. That's why he made us. And we, like we sang, we really don't know what we're about till we give ourselves over to God. Bob Thompson wanted to do ballistics or something like that. Oh, brother, can you imagine that? What a waste of a man of God. I don't know what I want. All I wanted to do was just be out in the woods by myself. Found out I didn't really want to do that either. Being by yourself isn't so much fun, especially out in the woods. You could catch the biggest fish in the world, and there's nobody to show it to, and there's no fun in it. Therefore, all died, and he died for all, that they who should live. Okay, now you see that? They who live. That indicates that not everybody is in that group, doesn't it? Should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died and rose again on their behalf. This is the one thing that I'm struggling with. Not the concept, but the reality. I don't want to live for myself. Paul got it immediately. As soon as he saw Jesus in that thing as he was riding to Damascus, and he saw the Lord, and he said, I'm the one you're persecuting. And he realized, wow, this is the I am of God. Everything from this point on, I owe to him. He no longer pursued anything for himself. It's not to say he lived a miserable life. He didn't. He was a very joyous person. He didn't mind the rats licking his wounds while he was fettered in prison. It didn't bother him. He still rejoiced in God. And he said, this has been good for you. Don't get upset about me. I'm fine. This has been good for you. Look here, I'm writing Ephesians. I'm writing Colossians. I'm writing Galatians. This is good for you guys. You'd never get this if I wasn't here. Don't be disturbed. That's a different mentality than what we're used to, because we've fallen off the wagon. As Christians. All right, there are, this is, let me get where I'm going and then I'll do my drawing, okay? All right. Recognize no one after the flesh. What he's saying there is recognizing people after the flesh is that's how people relate to everybody. This is what I see, this is what I know. And what God wants us to do is be spiritual people. That's the way we're meant to be. Adam used to walk with God in the cool of the day, and they used to talk. And once he ate the fruit, he went and hid himself behind fig leaves. Can you imagine trying to hide behind fig leaves? shows you how screwed up we can get. But God doesn't relate to us like that. When God sees us, Jesus, who's now been raised, sees with eyes of fire. You know how you test metal? Right? He sees us with eyes of fire. He sees what metal we are made out of. And we have to, that's what it means to get used to the fire. We have to get used to the fact that that's how he sees us. And be able to not only deal with it, but actually enjoy it. Because any imperfections that come up in the heat, they can spoon it off. Well, I don't know about you, but I got a lot of imperfections, so spoon away, God. I'm all for it. He's making us pure gold. You know how they make pure gold, don't you? They melt it until the stuff that isn't gold comes to the surface because gold is heavier. God is creating in us a weight. Something that's substantial, something that's noticeable, something that our dear friends out there in the Dakotas should be able to recognize and feel. That's why they call you a friend. Because it's intangible. That's how we're to see one another. No longer after the flesh, but spiritual eyes. Therefore, if any man is in Christ, we're familiar with this verse, are we not? He is a new creature. Old things passed away. Behold, new things have come. That's what we're learning. That's what God is showing us. That's what's meant to be. But because we've obfuscated the message, so much doesn't seem changed. It ought to be. It certainly was for Paul immediately. He got his sight back. That's 3 days into the whole thing. And he's preaching. Now, all these things are from God who reconciled them. That's where I'm going. Do you know what it means to be reconciled? I've talked about it before. Maybe this is the last time I ever get to talk about it. Do you know what it means to be reconciled? Do you know what it means to be reconciled? She says, yes, sort of. Do you think so? It means to be bought back. Adam sold us out for a bite of what God told him not to eat. The lie he was told was that he would be like God if he ate it. How dumb. He already was. He was created in God's image. That's what it says. And the moment he ate it, he lost the image of God. So he got the opposite of what he was told he was getting. God knew all that all along. God was not fooled by that. He wasn't taken by surprise by that. God had a plan because the Lamb, whom God had in mind, was slain before the foundation of the earth. God was not taken by surprise. He's always planned on us being reconciled so that now we can come back to Daddy as his children. As his children. All these things are from God who reconciled us to himself. And what is the thing that I've been hammering on a lot in terms of tenses? It's a past. When did that happen? I think Peter said it. On the cross. Precisely. Reconciled. It's given to me. I have to humble myself and receive it. Can't earn it. Can't gain it. Can't make myself good enough for it. And when I get it, I realize I'm worse than I thought I was. And yet, reconciled is still true. He didn't just reconcile myself after the flesh. He reconciled the conscious me and the subconscious me. He reconciled all of me. You like that? I sure do. Reconciled to himself through Christ. And gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, the gospel that we preach should be bringing people back to that reality that they can know God as Father. Yes, it takes repentance. You won't get anywhere without repentance. And we understand what repentance means. It's not feeling bad about how you did. We all feel bad about how we did. God's not interested in us feeling bad unless that feeling bad leads us to repentance. Repentance is changing. Now, I will go to the board and show you what's happened to change. This is just mine. Okay, so you can just take it as that, but I think that I have the scripture and God's mind in it. So, reconciliation. Reconciliation. God has reconciled us. How has God reconciled us? We understand this. He's reconciled us through grace. It's a gift. Now, the problem is that, as always, we have a tendency to get off. There's two sides that we've fallen off where God is. I'm going to call this Jesus did it all. That's just a name I pulled that out of the head. I'm not saying that that's a title to anything. In one sense, this is absolutely true. So I'll show up. Well, there's going to be two sides, and they're both true. So, but I'm going to show you how what happens when we take a particular stance. And this other stance is, what am I going to call this? Because they're both true, I'm going to call it, we have to do our part. Okay? They're both true. Okay? Both of these are true. And yet, if we concentrate on Jesus doing it all and not our part, we miss what God has done and we miss what God intended. What happens is when we realize that God, through grace, has given us these things, what some people, I'm not saying everybody, but some people tend to do is they go, since Jesus did this, there's no requirement on my part. I can receive it. Hallelujah. I'm so happy. And you just go and do what you've always done. It's kind of represented in the children of Israel. Who brought the children of Israel out of Egypt? Who did that? God did that, right? Children of Israel had to do what in order for that to happen? They had a part to do. That's true. They had to put their blood on the door, and then they had to get their stuff up. But for the most part, who did they fight with? Who did they struggle with? How did they manage to escape Egypt? They just walked out like that. The dogs didn't even bark. That would be a miracle. I'd love that in my yard because I got neighbors all around with dogs that bark, 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 bark all the time. I go out to look at my garden. Bark, 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 bark. They didn't bark. They just walked out. God, in that sense, did it all for them. And when they came, and God led them, they came to the Red Sea. Did they all get together and huff and puff and blow that water away? Of course not. God caused the wind to come. There was something to do because he told Moses, stretch out your arm. There's always something to do. None of this just falls on us. We always have a part that we must play. But the problem is there's a whole lot of them when they left, they took with them Egypt. Says it in the scripture. They brought the same gods that God had destroyed with them and carried them in their tents and brought along this idol and that idol. And so as they went through the wilderness, because God leads us all into the wilderness. How many of you noticed that God leads us into the wilderness? Yes, okay. They drug those things with them, and because it wasn't what they were used to or what they liked or what they wanted, they murmured and they complained. And the reason why is because their false gods weren't helping them. And they had no trust in the real God. And Christians do that. And Jesus did it all? Cool. I'll just live out my life. And, you know, whatever, it's, he did it, you know, no condemnation, right? So, you know I do some things that I shouldn't do, and I live for some ways that I shouldn't live, and but we all, you know, we all, right? And they fall off the wagon because God has created us to be new creations, new creatures. And the transformation never takes place because there's no demand. But there's another group of people that came out of there and they went through the wilderness, but because they kind of focused on the negative. And I'm saying this to us because we've had good, strong teaching all these years. And there's a danger that comes with good, strong teaching. Did you know that? It's a danger with everything, but there's a danger that comes with good, strong teaching. And that is that what we might do is focus on the negative and not on the positives. We weren't taught to do that. It's just the danger that comes with that. Saints from ages have always recognized that this can be a danger. And when you do, what happens is when you see giants and you see walled cities and you see iron chariots, you're used to, we're struggling because there's a sense where we've never really let ourselves go. We're still struggling to get this done. We take it to heart. We really believe that this is how we should live, and we should live righteously and holy, and that's what God demands and expects. And so we haven't allowed God to do work in us so much as we are trying to get it done. Now, I'm sure none of you have ever done that, but I certainly have. And you know what happens? You get discouraged because you lose sight of the other truth. You can lose sight of the other truth. You can lose sight of what Jesus actually did. He accomplished it. He's given it to you as a gift. And you're doing your best. And if you have the Holy Spirit, you realize your best isn't good enough. And you have a tendency to get discouraged. And so when you see the iron chariots and the giants, you go, I'm not up for this. And the problem with both of those sides is you don't enter into God's rest. God's rest is based on the finished work of Christ. And if you never see it finished, there's no rest. If you see it all finished and there's nothing for you to do, there's no rest. Because things are still in you that haven't been dealt with. And you're taught, I've heard it taught, so I know it's taught. Don't worry about it. It's okay. It's all covered. It's only covered if you're doing your part. The both are true. It's covered if you're doing your part. Scripture tells us to confess our sins. He tells that to Christians, not to sinners. Christians are to confess their sins so they can be cleansed. But in the meantime, we can rest in the fact that God has done this. Reconciliation. We have been reconciled. Who reconciled? You see that? Iled means God did it through Christ. And he's given us the ministry of reconciliation, namely that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself. Do you see that? Reconciling who? The world? Anybody can be reconciled? Not counting their trespasses against them. See that? We can with joy confess our sins. Did you know that? We can with joy have... You don't have to have fellowship broken if you make a mistake. And I'm only saying that because we make mistakes, not because I'm trying to make it so that we all want to go out of here making mistakes. My object is not to go make mistakes, go ahead and do, oh, I know I shouldn't, but I'm covered. It doesn't fly. Neither does, oh, I made a mistake, oh my gosh, I don't know if I'm going to be able to get back with God or not. It doesn't fly. That's not God's heart. He's made a way. He made a way. One of the things that they're emphasizing at the IHOP this year is Hephzibah. Who knows what Hephzibah means? Huh? Somebody's already gotten that word. I delight in you. You see, I told you love is the greatest motor of all. He delights in us. He wouldn't do all this if he didn't. It's hard for us to believe that he actually delights in us. Can we grieve his heart? Yes. Can we sin willfully and lose our place? Yes. But he delights in us. I'm telling you, he delights in us. If you're doing something that's displeasing, he'll let you know. You don't have to beat yourself up. You confess it, repent of it, and go on as if it never happened. That's how God sees it. That's how God sees it. We don't. Why? I don't understand. We hold it against ourselves. When God doesn't. We keep records that God has expunged. And in so doing, we nullify the blood of Jesus Christ. Not good. Not good. With joy, we can come before the Lord. That's one of the things that we need to get a hold of. Joy. The joy of holiness. We sang about being holy. The joy of holiness. Holiness should bring a real joy. An ability to come before God with grateful hearts and rejoice in His holiness and in our holiness. Because holiness doesn't just mean not making mistakes. It means we belong to God. Did you hear that? It doesn't just mean you don't make mistakes. If it only means you don't make mistakes, then none of us are ever going to be holy because we make mistakes. It means you belong to God. And because you belong to God, God has already made a way. Confess your sins. He's faithful and just to forgive us. If we walk in the light, His blood cleanses us from all unrighteousness. There is a part we have to do. We have to walk in the light. We have to confess our sin. When God makes it us aware of the sin, but we don't have to drag it around with us like a great weight. Oh, I'm so miserable. Oh, I'm so terrible. Oh, I'm so bad. Oh, I'm never going to measure up. No, you never will measure up. We measure by the measure that God gave Jesus. And that's been apportioned to us by faith. Does He measure up? Does He measure up? Glory, hallelujah. I should hope so. I should hope so. And we can stand in that and confess our sin and not hide behind a fig leaf. That's so silly. So this year, one of our prayers will be that we will no longer carry fig leaves around. We don't need fig leaves. God can see you, by the way. Fig leaf or not. What I want Him to see is a heart transformed. A mind renewed. Emotions healed. A new creation. Amen? Amen. He made Him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf that we might become the righteousness of God. All right? So here's my last verse. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ as though God were entreating through us. We beg you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. be reconciled. You receive it by faith. You have to hold it by faith. You have to maintain it by faith. You have to stand in it by faith. Be reconciled. Recognizing He did the work. He did what's necessary. You cannot reconcile yourself. Having come to know that, it's your job and my job to keep that reconciliation safe, guard it, and let nothing hinder it. Through faith. It's all by faith. It's by faith. By faith we can come to God and know that He will hear and He will answer and He will forgive us. And He is transforming us as we are transformed with our thinking. Well, it looks like I gave everybody a little more food than they imagined they were going to have to eat this morning. But I'll pray that God gives us the ability to ingest. And if there are bones, and I'm sure there must be, we'll be able to spit them out. I want to pray. Father, I thank You that You have reconciled us to Yourself through Your Son, Jesus. I thank You that He was obedient. He struggled with that, Lord. Not the dying, but the becoming sin. It wasn't anything He chose, even though He came in the world to do this. It was not something He would choose to do because it meant separation from You. To become sin and receive into Himself all the guilt. It's the greatest thing, the guilt and the shame. The greatest pain of sin is guilt and shame. And we can stand before You without guilt, and we can stand before You without any shame whatsoever. No need of fig leaves. Because of the obedience of Your Son. Now, Lord, we are called to be watchmen on the wall. We're watching for the return of the Lord Jesus. He's coming at midnight. And those who are asleep and are in revelry will be in the midst of all of that, Lord. Let us keep ourselves from it. Separate ourselves from that sort of life. And live lives that are consecrated to God, lives that are separated unto God. Give us vision, Lord, in the night to see the coming of the bridegroom for His bride. So that we would not be caught along with all the rest of the world, Lord, who are not paying attention because they live in the darkness. And it will come upon them like a thief in the night because they're not prepared. But it will not come upon us as a thief in the night if we walk in the light. So let us all walk faithfully in the light, Lord. Let us walk by the grace that God has so freely given. Let us walk by that which has been wrought in us through the grace of God, through obedience, through faithfulness, adding to our faith, that we might be those who love. If a man love Me, he will keep My commandments. Let it be our portion this day, Lord, that we would grow up unto You in love, to keep Your commandments, and love one another, and thus fulfill Your heart and purposes in the earth. Remember that we do not belong to ourselves. We belong to You. Now I pray, Lord, Your blessing on everyone who's come this morning. That You would take of Your word. You would take of Your scripture. You would take of that which Your Holy Spirit speaks. Cause it to grow in our lives, Lord. To bring forth fruit of righteousness. To bring forth hope. Because hope doesn't disappoint. Be strengthened in our inner man, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.